Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. God is good. Amen. Well, if you're wondering, I'm not Summit School of the Ministry. And we told them, we said, listen, there's because of the snow, we didn't want our whole student body coming up. So I told them, I said, I'll pinch hit tonight. So in a few weeks, we're going to have Summit. Their whole student body will be coming. Choir will be, they'll be singing. So they'll be with us. So it'll be a special night. So I just wanted you to know. Those that are watching online, we welcome you. We're just getting over a snowstorm, 20 inches of snow in New York City, but we are still alive. Amen? We're tough here in New York City. So we say hello to those watching in Kenya, those in Tunisia, Madagascar, and Australia. We welcome Malaysia, the Philippines, South Korea, Indonesia, and India. Hello to United Kingdom, Wales, Sweden, Netherlands, France, Finland, Bulgaria, and Ireland. We say hello to Canada, Mexico, Panama, Jamaica, Dominica, Trinidad and Tobago, Barbados, and St. Lucia. Welcome St. Kitts and Nevis, French Guiana, U.S. Virgin Islands. We say hello to Venezuela. We're praying for you. Peru, Ecuador, Suriname, Uruguay, Puerto Rico, and the Dominican Republic. Would you welcome all those watching? Some 34 states around the United States, and we welcome our universities. We say hello to all of you and watching tonight. We welcome NYU, New York University. Let's welcome all those. I do want to encourage, whether you're at NYU, whether you're at Fordham, or whether you work in New York City, or whether you're coming in from any of the boroughs, I know you're watching online, and we've had people ask us, why don't you put the prayer meeting online? The morning prayer meeting. We don't put the noon prayer meeting online, but the worldwide one is on every Tuesday, every Wednesday night. I do want to invite you to our New York City noon prayer meeting, which is every Wednesday. It starts at 12 noon and we end right at 1 o'clock. Folks, it is just an amazing time that we have together. Literally, I'll share for 90 seconds. Ricardo will sing a song for probably 90 seconds, and then we pray for the entire time. And I want to encourage you to do something for me tonight. So if you took your phone out, take your phone in your hands. I know you're not supposed to have it on, you're supposed to have it on silent. But if you could take those phones out, even those that are watching online, if you could scan that QR code on your armrest, the first thing that'll come up is prayer request, the noon prayer meeting. I want you to put in there, and you don't have to, even if it's one sentence, how many need somebody to be born again? You need somebody to be saved this year. I want you to put their name in there. I want us to make a spiritual declaration and declare war that we are going to see Jesus win in their lives this year. And I want you to type their name in and say, pray for my husband, pray for my son, pray for my roommate, pray for my coworker. And you put that in. And then tomorrow, whether you can come for 10 minutes, whether you can come for 1 hour, this place will open up right at 11:45. And then from noon to one, we just pray. And so, I don't know, maybe 200-300 were here on Wednesday last week. We encourage you to be part of it, however long you can come for. Put those names in there. We're going to start to pray for them. I want to talk to you tonight. There's something I've been praying about, and I just feel like tonight's the best night. Anyone ever feel this way? And that's this. I need some answers for some really big decisions in my life. Anybody with me that's saying, I need some, okay, this is for you tonight. And in fact, I looked on the list. I'm on for next week, and I'm very excited about next week. I'm going to talk to you about hearing God's opinion on things I'm just not sure about. Hearing God's opinions on things I'm just not. So this is kind of, I wasn't planning on a mini series. It's not that. But I want to talk to you about some decisions and getting the mind of Christ. We need the mind of Christ. Amen. Father, in these next few moments, I pray that the word of God would be alive to us. Thank you, God. We've sensed your presence in worship. We've sensed your presence in the communion as we pray together. Now, Father, in these next few moments, I'm praying tonight that you would bless Summit. Even though they're not here with us, we're going to pray the mighty blessing of God on Dr. Teresa Conlon, the blessing of God upon that student body. Thank you for what you're doing through Summit. And we pray, God, that you're going to do, Father, begin to release this next generation of ministers all over the world. So we thank you for them. Now, we need the mind of Christ on some things that we're facing and dealing with and need to make decisions about. give us the mind of Christ in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Now, before you sit down, listen, it's been a tough 2 days with snow. You have to give someone a warm smile, a warm handshake, a warm fist bump. Give somebody just some hope that there's hope on the other side of this snow. Greet someone around you, behind you, next to you, and say, God bless you. Then you may be seated. It's never happened to me before. It only happened once, and probably I've never sensed it happening again. I've just over the years of ministry and with family and being away from family, I've flown probably close to a couple of million miles. And I was getting ready to speak at a college university in the Midwest. I was going to do one of their chapels. And as I was driving to the airport, literally 10 minutes from the airport, I had this feeling that I wasn't supposed to get on that plane. I don't know what was happening. The first thing, obviously, that goes through your mind is that it's going to be dangerous. Something's going to happen. There's going to be something horrific or a tragedy. And it was the first time I've ever done this. I stopped the car. I remember getting off an exit, pulling into a parking lot of a Presbyterian church and calling the Bible college. I couldn't remember if it was the chaplain or the president. And just saying, I'm not going to be able to come. I, at that moment, I don't say this even to be with arrogance. It didn't matter what they felt of my canceling. It was an issue of I was willing to pay for all the changes and everything else. But I knew I just couldn't get on that plane. I don't know what it was for. I turned back around. They were very gracious, turned back around, went home. My flight was supposed to take off at 4 p.m., and something in me goes, well, let me see what happened to that plane at 4 p.m., and nothing happened to it. I don't know what God was protecting me from. I don't know what God was shielding me from. I don't know what God was saying. All I could say was this: I didn't have peace about getting on that airplane. I don't know to this day what it was that God was protecting me from, but something internal, something, there was an alarm system that went off inside of me that paused and said, turn the car around, and I did exactly that. It's not simply with decisions like that, but I was reading an article that right down the street here, Columbia Research has found that you, the average person, me, the average person, will make 70 decisions every day. That's 25,000 decisions a year. Do you know before you die, you're going to make 1.7 million decisions in your lifetime? How many want to get it right in those decisions? I want to get those right in those decisions. And in one of my 70 decisions on that day of not going to the airport, I believe I did get it right. I believe I responded to what the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. You know, someone sent me an article not too long ago called The Biggest Millennial Struggle. And they called it for the millennials, those between the ages of 23 and 38. They said, is decision fatigue. Decision fatigue, that so many decisions are coming their way. They don't know what to do or what, and it's almost overwhelming. And how do you do it with your 70 decisions a day, your 25,000 decisions every year? I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to be in God's will. I really want to be with where God wants me to be every single day. And I found something in the scriptures I want to read to you that God began to just speak to my heart that I want to give to you today. It's such an important verse, and I want you to write this verse down. I want to read to you Colossians 3:15. I'm just going to take two verses. We'll go from some different areas, but there's two verses I want to key on. And I want you to listen what the Apostle Paul says. He says this, the peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. Let me read that first line again. The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. For it is to this peace that God has called you together in this one body, and for that we are to be thankful. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is telling us, friends, something very incredible. I want you to get this. He was saying peace is this tool, this weapon to guide our next steps when we don't have all the information, or if we are being blurred by emotions or persuasive voices in our life, it is the peace of Christ that guards and guides us. And I want you to keep that in mind. Peace will guard and peace will guide. So the peace of Christ is that powerful tool that God has given to us with those 70 decisions every single day. At the end, I want to challenge you to make that at the end, some of you maybe to make the most important decision of your life, of those 1.7 million that you will make in a lifetime. We'll talk about that at the end, but I want you to write down these two phrases, or these two phrases from Colossians 3. We'll look at both of them tonight. We read in Colossians 3:15 about the peace of Christ, and then right after that, he's gonna talk about the word of Christ, the peace of Christ and the word of Christ. I want us to look at those, because those two things will guide us in what we're supposed to decide every single day, the peace of Christ and the word of Christ. Follow me for just a moment on this as I was thinking about this, as the Olympics are ending and everybody is kind of going through withdrawals and everything that's happening. I was thinking about this for just a moment. Just allow me just to play this out for a second. As baseball is starting a brand new season, I want to propose to you something, a question or a possibility. What would happen on a baseball diamond around the country if you remove these four men that wear these black suits on the baseball diamond? They're called umpires. What would take place in Major League Baseball, 30 stadiums, 750 of the greatest players in the world that have to have these four men dressed in black sport coats to make the game go right? These are the ones that they call umpires. Those men look different than any other player on the field. They wear a black sport coat. No matter how good the players are, how fast they can pitch, or how far they can hit a baseball, or how amazing they are with their ball glove, the emotions of the game can cloud everybody's decisions. And they need a group of guys on the field to keep order. So when they give it all they got, they want to stretch a single into a double. They're going to slide into home plate. Their emotions are thinking, I was safe. I made it there. Or if you're on defense, they're out. The baseball diamond needs that neutral party that sees it clearly to make the correct call. Not the call that the fans want, the players want, but the right call, the correct call. And the umpire can't be impaired by emotions, peer pressure, or even popular opinion. They have to be moved by doing the right thing. What happens when you remove them? There's nothing but chaos. That's why I want to give you this word, umpire, is such a strong word when we're dealing with peace here. Let me read it to you again, Colossians 3:15. From the Amplified Version. It's very interesting what the Amplified says. Listen to these words. And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ's rule, look at this now, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all the questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state, to which as members of Christ's one body, you are also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Look at that again. Let Christ rule, let the peace of Christ rule or act as an umpire. That peace of Christ is very important. He refers to it as an umpire. And I'm going to tell you why that word is put there. This book of Colossians is an important book. The book was called a polemic epistle, which means it was really written as a response to a society and to a place that has gone mad. It's arguing for truth in this city of Colossae, and this city that is filled and invaded by, for lack of better words, untruths. And Paul writes to the Colossians, be careful, brothers and sisters. He says, know the truth, be grounded in the truth in chapter 1. He discusses the truth of Christ in chapter 2. He deals with even the truth about cults, about people that are trying to put you in bondage to only certain days of the week matter, or this is the only kind of food you can eat. In chapters 3, and he does this. And then in chapter 4, he goes to the truth about what it is to be a believer in Christ. Listen to what he says in Colossians 2:16. He says, so don't put up with anyone pressuring you in details of diet, worship, services, or holy days. All those things are mere shadows cast before what was to come. The substance is Christ. Don't tolerate people who try to run your life, ordering you to bow and scrape, insisting that you join their obsession with angels and that you seek out visions. There are a lot of hot air. And that's all they are. Paul doesn't hold any punches back. He's going after stuff. He says, don't let these people, don't let their obsession with things. Listen to what he says. They're completely out of touch with the source of life, who's Christ, who puts us together in one piece, whose very breath and blood flow through us. He is the head and we are the body. We can grow up healthy in God only as he nourishes us. So then, if with Christ you have put all the pretensions and the infantile religion behind you, why do you let yourselves be bullied by it? Don't touch this. Don't taste that. Don't go near this. Do you think those things that are here today and gone tomorrow are worth that kind of intention? Such things sound impressive if you said deep enough. I love this. This is the message. Such things are sound impressive if you said it in a deep enough voice. It's kind of like when you're going, oh, I believe in God. Okay, that's it. They even give the illusion of being pious and humble and ascetic, but they're just another way of showing off, making yourselves look important. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, is what he says to us. The Apostle Paul tells the Colossians, all these voices are going to come. You have an umpire to make a call with all this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now, why do I use this word umpire? I want you to get this down. Let the peace of Christ, what's the next word? Rule. Write that word down, because this is important. There's a book that I have in my library. It's called Sparkling Gems from the Greek. And it refers to this word. And I want to read to you what they say about this word. It says, notice the word rule. It's from the Greek word brabeo, which in ancient times was used to describe the umpire or referee who moderated and judged the athletic competitions of the ancient world. Paul uses this word to tell us that the peace of God, the peace of Christ, can work like an umpire in our hearts, minds, and emotions. That is powerful. What he is saying is this, that peace is the umpire. That's the guy, the lady in the black sport coat that says out or safe. That's the one when you're getting ready to go somewhere, when you're getting ready to get on a plane and he's going safe or he's going get out, or in a relationship. Emotions can cloud all of our decisions, and we need the peace of Christ to begin to rule in our hearts. If we don't have peace, here's a thought, don't do it. If the peace of Christ is not there, then you can say something like this, I don't have peace about this. That's what you say. There's a decision-making story in the book of Joshua that literally cost the children of Israel lives, years, and time. They made a covenant, a contract with a group of people they never should have made it with. This is one of the glaring moments in Joshua, is that they weren't led by peace. And I want to show you that they blew by the umpire. When the umpire is going, get out, don't do this, get out of that. And they blew right by it. It's in Joshua chapter 9. They're right in the middle of this campaign in the promised land. And then all of a sudden, the Bible says in verse 3, a people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done at Jericho and Ai. That's the walls falling down. And he says, and these people, the Gibeonites, cooked up a ruse. They posed as travelers, their donkeys loaded with patched sacks and mended wineskins, threadbare sandals on their feet, tattered clothes on their bodies, nothing but dry crust and crumbs for food. They came to Joshua at Gilgal and spoke to the men of Israel, saying, we've come from a far off country, make a covenant with us. You have to remember, they were just from around the corner, per se, And they made this whole thing up. Let's make our clothes look old. Let the bread look crusty. Let us look like we were just on this giant journey. Because if we don't make a covenant with these guys, we're next on the conquering list. We're the next group that's going down. So they were coming in to make a covenant so they wouldn't get beat up by the children of Israel. So now they're showing up. They're showing up with tattered clothes, crusty bread, beat up sandals, and going, "We're from a far country." The men of Israel said to these Hivites, "How do we know you aren't local people?" Something was clicking in them. They're going, "How do we know you're not from around the corner? How could we then make a covenant with you? Listen, we're sitting right here. How do we know you're not from the Bronx? How do we know you're not right around the corner from Brooklyn? How do we know? Like, what is it? We hear something wasn't letting go. The men of Israel had this pause, or we said they weren't at peace. There was something made them say that. Everything, don't miss this. I want to pause here. Everything looked right. The clothing, the food, the sandals, and their speech, but they still lacked peace. Listen to me, friends. Everything could look right, but if the umpire inside is saying, "Don't do this," then you stop. This is where we've got to let peace overrule what we see and hear at times. On paper, we're going, "That's the right job. That's the right university. That's the right relationship. That's the right date. That's the right website. That's the right," and all of a sudden, but something inside says, "This isn't right." The clothing looks good. The speech looks good. And all of a sudden, something is questioning it. They notice what they notice something here. And so I want you to see what the Gibeonites did. The men of Israel are going, "Wait a second. Something's not right here. How do we know you're not?" Then all of a sudden, what these people do is they stop talking to the men that were questioning them. You know who they talk to? They go right to Joshua. They don't want to talk to the people that are asking them extra questions. They don't want to talk to the guys that are going, let's meet. Let me ask you a few more questions. No, let's talk to Joshua. Look what happens. Next verse. But they said to Joshua, "We are your servants." Then Joshua said, Who are you? And where do you come from?" They said, "Your servants come from a very far country because of the fame of the Lord your God." That now all of a sudden they're going like, "You're famous, bro." Men of Israel looked them over and accepted the evidence. But here, look at this. But they didn't ask God about it. They made the decision based on this and this. But inside, alarms were going off. Something wasn't right. So Joshua made peace with them and formalized it with a covenant to guarantee their lives. And the leaders of the congregation swore to it. Man, something went off the rails. They didn't respond to that. We would call that, I grew up at a time in the church. I don't know if some of you older people grew up in the church remember this. How many remember these words? "I've got a check in my spirit." How many remember that words? "I've got a check in my spirit." What that means when you say, "I've got a check," it means I don't have peace about this. I don't have peace about saying yes. I don't have a peace about going to lunch. I don't have a peace about meeting you over here. I just don't have a peace about it. Folks, honor that check in your spirits. Honor it. Joshua didn't ask. And here's what you do. You pause. You just pause. You go, "Let me get back to you." That's all you have to do. You don't have to look at him going like, "I don't have peace about you." You don't have to do that. All you have to do is just say, "Hey, let me get back to you." You go before God. They didn't ask the counsel of God and got in a relationship that they never should have got into. Ooh, we can stop right here for just a second and deal with this. Because you jumped into something by what you heard, what you saw, instead of what you heard from God about that relationship. I won't even go there. What is the peace of Christ? What is that? That Colossians 3:15 is talking about. This peace of Christ, it's this inner calm, though there's a lot of chaos and distractions on the outside. Though everybody's wanting to talk, everybody's saying, "Do it, go here. But there's something inside that says something's not right. Something's not right. Someone said peace is not the absence of conflict, it's the absence of inner conflict. That's what the peace is. Folks, I'm telling you, I can have craziness all around me, but knowing inside, if I'm at peace, I'm good. But when something is not at peace, I'm not moving. Let me add some scenarios for you. You're single and your girlfriend is wanting to set you up with a guy at her office. And something says, this is not right. Though heaven knows I want to be married and don't want to be alone. And just because it may sound right and look right, it may not be right. A job opportunity comes with more money and a stable place. Maybe you thought of this will be best for us to go there and for the family, even though it may be a spiritually desolate place that may take away a fervor for God. And you've got to hear from God at university. It could be after a basketball game or after an event. And all of a sudden, a group of students invites you to go out. And something inside of you says, let's not do that. That's where Christ says, Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. If you don't feel peace, then you pause. If you don't feel peace, then you put the brakes on. Peace is the umpire when emotions of loneliness, self-worth, and acceptance are clamoring for immediate attention. Let me say that again. It is peace that is the umpire when the emotions of loneliness, self-worth, and acceptance are clamoring for an immediate decision. If there's no peace, then folks, let me just help you. Then there's no way. That's this. Listen, when I have no peace, that's when I pause on those things. When there is no peace, it is preventing consequences that an emotional decision could cause. When there is no peace, you'll feel that inner turmoil. Even as you're dealing with this, you'll say things like, I feel funny about this decision. Something doesn't feel right about going here or about this job or about this school or going out to this place. I don't have peace about this. The peace of Christ is an inner settling inside. But I want to be clear about something. I remember talking to an individual that peace is what guides us. The peace of Christ guides our direction, our steps. It's the peace of Christ that moves us in the right direction. Don't miss what I'm about to say. Fear and anxiety is not how God leads. Fear and anxiety are not God's language. He directs by peace and not by fear. Let me explain what I mean. I remember talking to a woman who was coming to our church. And she said, I was parking in the area and I felt this fear come over me that if I was, she was coming from a different place and wasn't used to the city. And she said, when I parked the car, I felt this fear come over me. And the question she said to me, was that God telling me you're going to get robbed and I was supposed to go home? I said, listen carefully. I said, absolutely not. God is a father and he doesn't speak that way. He doesn't guide us by fear of a situation or fear of these things. Don't miss this. Fear and anxiety are enemies to the Christian life to get you to pause when God is wanting you to move in faith. Let me say that again. When you feel fear and anxiety, those are enemies to the Christian life to get you to pause when God is going, no, we move. We don't let fear and anxiety decide for us. We let the peace of Christ rule over everything that we're going to begin to do. That's how God speaks. Do not confuse them as directionary. You can be afraid. Here's what I want you to get. You can be afraid and have peace at the same time. Folks, I'm telling you, I knew that me and my family were supposed to be in New York City in the middle of COVID, in the middle of just a global pandemic. Were we afraid? 100%. Saying, going, I don't know about that. Well, I don't even want to talk to you. The peace of Christ is simply Christ is with me as I move forward. Peace is his smile, his approval. Peace is his presence. Peace is God's support internally, even though externally it seems to be out of control. Listen to 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Write these words down or take a picture of this. Now may the Lord himself, the Lord of peace, pour into you his peace in every circumstance and in every possible way. The Lord's tangible presence be with you all. You know what my prayer is? Lord, pour it into me. Pour peace into me. I invite you into every circumstance. Pour your peace into me. Folks, I'm telling you, some of you are just going, do I do this? Do I do this? Do I do this? Here's a better prayer. Pour your peace into me. Because if I don't feel peace, I'm not doing any of those things. So while you're asking for A and B, you forgot to ask for peace because God will give it to you. That's why Colossians 3:15 can be translated almost like this. Let the peace of God call the shots in your life. Let the peace of Christ be the umpire in your life and actions. Let the peace of God act as the referee over your emotions and all of your decisions. Don't overrule when God is beginning to put a check inside of you. I remember reading the words of Curtis Hudson, who said this: when the Christian is faced with a decision regarding a questionable matter, he should never proceed unless he has complete peace about it. I'm telling you, folks, I think what comes after, when I'm faced with do we do this, do we do this, do we do this, do we do this, my prayer is this: pour your peace into me. Pour peace into this situation. God, if I don't have peace, then we don't move. If I don't have peace, we don't go forward. We don't move based on opportunity, based on situations, based on money. We move based on the peace of Christ. That's what allows us. People that don't do that, finding themselves bouncing from place to place, relationship to relationship, church to church, friend to friend. Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. That's what guides and directs us. And finally, what comes after peace to me is the next verse is just brilliant. He says it's not only the peace of Christ, but he calls it the word of Christ. Listen to this. This is verse 16. Let the word of Christ have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. Peace is the umpire. But you know what I realized when I wrote this down? The word of God is the playbook that the umpire goes off of. Peace, the peace of Christ and the word of Christ go together. If you want the peace of Christ, here it comes. Start with the word of Christ. If you want peace, then become familiar with this word right here. I've watched people, listen, all of us can do it. Have you ever watched a person with their cell phone? Like it's everywhere. They've got to hold it every place they go. It's on them. They've got even on their pants, they've got outlines of the phone that has been there for so much time. Everyone, what would happen if we treated the word of Christ, the Bible, like we would treat our cell phone? What if we carried it around in our purses and pockets? What if we flipped through it several times a day? What if we turned back to get it when we forgot it? What if we used to receive messages from the text instead of texting? What if we treated it like we couldn't live without it? What if we gave it to our children as gifts instead of the iPhone 17? What if we used it when we traveled? What if we used it in case of emergency? What if we treated the word of God for what it really is? It's the word of Christ that protects us and begins to guide us every single time. Folks, that's why I believe when you are reading this word, you are downloading the software that is retrievable when you face the next step in your life. Every time I'm about to take the next step, I'm going, God, I've downloaded the word inside of me. That's why it's so important. You can visit with many good books, but live in the Bible. Live in the word of God. That's why, as simple as this, as simple as we talk to people about chapter by chapter and subscribing to it, start with a chapter a day, download it into your spirit. Let the word of God get down deep inside of you. Let a chapter, some of you are going like, I don't want to go to Exodus. I've read Exodus already. Keep reading Exodus. Like all of a sudden, like you read it once and all of a sudden, like you're a professional. Read it again, even if you've read it before. You never know which time lightning will strike your heart and a verse will come alive and a chapter will do something. I was reading the story of the Reformation when Martin Luther was, when all of a sudden Romans 1:17, that the just shall live by faith. You know what was amazing about that? It just happens one day, lightning strikes on that passage. For 2 years he taught on Romans and nothing happened. And then going through it one more time, lightning strikes. The just shall live by faith. All of a sudden, you saw a man that would climb up the steps in Rome just to please God. And then all of a sudden he realized it's not what I do, it's what he has done for me. Lightning struck. So all of a sudden, as soon as you think, well, I already read it, but if lightning hasn't struck, maybe it'll strike this time. All of a sudden, don't think that you're done because you read Exodus once. Oh my goodness. Let me explain it to you like this. Maybe you don't get Martin Luther. Okay, get this. My mom, if you went over my parents' house all the way till the time that my mom we had to sell the home and she just got too old to take care of it, my dad passed. If you were gonna drink coffee at my mom's house, she did coffee the same way. She had something that you young people know nothing about, called a percolator. How many know what I'm talking about, a percolator? She would sit that thing on the stove and you'd see that glass top. How many know, you see that glass thing on top? You put it in there and there would be this metal piping. So you put the water in there, and then there would be this aluminum holding of the grinds with this pipe that was there. But it did something different than the drip coffee would do today. The water on the bottom would come up and go through and come down, but it wasn't done. Then it would come up, go through the beans again and come back. And it would just keep coming up and going through. The water kept going through the beans and coming down. And you look at the coffee makers today, goes through it once and going, okay, that's it. Give me my cup of coffee. Some of you read the Bible like drips. You just go ahead and you read it once and going, okay, I'm all done. We need to percolate in this scripture until this thing grips hold of us and we go through Exodus and go through it again and go through it again and go through it again until we start thinking Exodus, speaking this word. Let the word of God percolate inside of our soul. Let the word of Christ guide us. My goodness, when any decision, don't miss this, violates the word of Christ, you will never have the peace of Christ. That's why this book is important. Don't miss this. Let me say it again. When any decision violates this book, you will never have the peace of Christ. Those two have to work together. Don't pray about things the Bible prohibits. You know the answer already. I'll stop there. As the musicians come, let me say this. It was a Saturday night on October 8th, 1871. He was considered to be probably the greatest American evangelist who violated that principle. That you'll never have the peace of Christ if it violates the word of Christ. D.L. Moody was preaching in Chicago, and his text was this, Matthew 27:22. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ? At the close of the sermon, thousands of people there, Moody said, I wish you would take this text home with you. Turn it over in your minds during the week, and next Sunday we'll come back together, and then I want you to decide what to do with Jesus. I have to believe this man who knew these scriptures, kind of like those elders in Israel that just go, something's wrong with these Gibeonites. I have to believe that D.L. Moody, at something in him saying, don't do that. Don't send them away. I just feel like this is just my opinion as I was reading about Moody's life. I think there was just something that was violating the umpire. He would invite his Ricardo Sanchez, and Willie Garcia was a man named Ira Sankey. He'd invite Ira Sankey up, and Ira would sing the closing song. Many times that, just like Ricardo would sing. And all the musicians, all of you guys can come. Everybody can come. They said as Sankey began to sing the closing song, the song never finished when he sent them all away. Because on that night, as he was preaching on that text, Matthew 27:22, what shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? On that Sunday, October 8th, 1871, as he says, go home and think about that text. That moment, while the Ricardo Sanchez, the Ira Sankey, the Willie Garcia, the Elder Vicky, the Kareem Riley are singing outside, they hear the sirens and the screaming, and it was the Great Chicago Fire. And the people that he wanted to be saved, that some of them perished and died in that fire. Roughly 3.3 square miles of the city burned to the ground. 100,000 people's residents, they became homeless. And Moody, to his dying day, when you read his biography, is full of regret that he told the congregation, come back next Sunday and tell me what you're going to do with Jesus. My goodness. I have to believe that something in him, the umpire, was going, don't send them away. Don't send them away without giving them an opportunity to respond to this. Why do you think, Pastor Tim, the umpire was going off for this? The word of Christ and the peace of Christ can't work together. Here's the word of Christ. Ready for this? This is Colossians 3:16, the word of Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Today, not next week. Today is the day of salvation. So how can you have peace by sending people away that need to respond? It doesn't connect. I can't have the peace of Christ if the word of Christ is hitting up against it. The word of Christ is telling me something. You can try all you want to twist the scriptures. You'll never find the peace of Christ. When the word of Christ is speaking directly to our hearts, to send people away. I want you to stand to your feet for just a moment. Can I say it like this? You will make 1.7 million decisions before you die. And the most important one you can make is where you'll spend eternity. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. Look at me for a moment. Heaven and hell are not faraway places. I want to say that again, and I want it to hit your heart. Heaven and hell are not faraway places. In a moment, our lives can be over. In a moment, breath taken from us. In a moment. And as I was preparing, as I was realizing yesterday, as I was talking to Dr. Conlon, I was saying, Dr. Conlon, please, let's move this. She goes, Tim, I totally agree. Let's wait for a few more weeks, and then we'll bring the whole student body down on a Tuesday night. We want it to be a special night. And as I was praying and preparing this, I knew I couldn't do what Moody did. Because the peace of Christ and the word of Christ, they have to work together. So if you want the peace of Christ, this has to be part of your life. This has to be part of your life. This has to be part of all that we do. How many want this thing to percolate in your soul? You want this thing to percolate inside of you? I want this thing. I want to keep going through and going through it. I want this to become something that I'm going... It's not just goes through at once, but constantly, 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 constantly. What this then does, it begins then to protect me from making decisions that I'm looking for peace. And God goes, no, it's right there. It's right there in the word. This is a, When you operate according to this, you'll always have the peace of Christ. When you allow the word of Christ to speak, the peace of Christ comes automatically, is what it comes. Of those 1.7 million decisions, the greatest decision you can ever make is what you're gonna do with your life. And it's really when you have to begin to decide, you have to ask yourself, if heaven and hell are places that are not far away, they're one breath away. And the most important decision you can make, because there's emotions, when Ricardo sings and we start singing these amazing songs, and Elder Vicky is gonna begin to lead us in music, or Kareem. Listen, church can become very emotional. We're dealing with the big decision right now, and the biggest decision we're dealing with right now is this: forever. Forever. And here's the part. This book says this. How do I get to eternity? How do I get to heaven? Here comes the word of Christ, literally the word of Christ. No man can see the kingdom of heaven unless they are born again. That is the word of Christ. So if I was to ask you, how do you get to heaven? How do you get to heaven? I gotta be a good person. I gotta get baptized. I've gotta be this. I'm a Muslim. I'm a Jew. I'm Catholic. I'm this. I go to Times Square Church. Okay, let me just tell you. None of those matter. Because if Jesus, the word of Christ, says you must be born again, that's not optional. That is it. That's the answer. Why don't you? I've talked with people from so many different religions. And none of them, when I ask them this, are you sure when you die you're going to heaven? Here's what I always hear. I hope so. They don't have peace. Something in them says, I don't have peace. I'm hoping to go. Or when I hear this, are you a Christian? I hope so. Let me help you. You don't have peace. If you were to ask me if I'm going to heaven, yes, I am. With an exclamation point on that. Yes, I am. Why? Why do I have peace? Because the word of Christ says that I have been born again. The word of Christ says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if I confess Jesus with my mouth and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. Listen, I go back to the word of Christ, which gives me the peace of Christ. Well, everybody else is saying, I hope so, I think so, I'm doing my best. I'm telling you tonight, you can know for sure. Because when the word of Christ is upheld, it's clear, the peace of Christ follows right after that. That happens tonight. If you want the peace of Christ, you must have peace with Christ. That's just the way it works. Just for a moment, would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a second? Real peace starts when there is peace between you and God. Sin destroys that peace. Until the sin issue is resolved God's way, you will live a life in pursuit of peace that never will be successful. Until you stop at Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. And so tonight, if the question was, are you going to, I hope so, I think so, I'm trying my best, can we get rid of that tonight? And if you're here tonight and just say, Pastor Tim, I want that assurance. I want that peace. I want that peace that you're talking about, Pastor Tim. I want that in my life. I want Christ in me. And to know that just because I'm in church doesn't mean Christ is inside of me. Let me just read this to you and be very clear with what the Bible says. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And the Bible says, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Those that are watching from Venezuela, and those that are watching from Wales, those that are watching from the United Kingdom and those that are watching from South Korea. You cannot have the peace of Christ without holding and trusting to the word of Christ. Can't have it. Tonight, I would dare not send you away. Tonight, today, this is the day of salvation. This is the day of salvation. If you're here, if you're listening tonight, if you're online, around the country, around the world, or in this place, and you said, Pastor Tim, I've lived with a lot of, I hope so, maybe, I'm trying my best, but tonight I want that assurance. I want the word of Christ, now to the peace of Christ to follow right after. Tonight I wanna make, of my 1.7 million decisions, tonight I'm making the decision. I want Christ in me. I want to be born again. If that's you and saying, Pastor Tim, would you pray for me? I want that assurance. If that's you without any doubt, saying, I want that. Just raise your hand saying, pray for me. I want that in my life. I want that. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. Say, I need that assurance tonight. I need that assurance. Here's what I want you to do. If you have your hands up, keep them up. Keep them up high. If you have your hands up, we're gonna sing this song, whatever song you have on your heart. I want you to get out of your seat and meet me right down here. Quickly, just get out of your seat right now. I'm gonna come down. We're singing this as you come, and then we're gonna pray together. Come on, let's sing this.
Let him turn it in your favor. Watch him work it for your good. 'Cause he's not done with what he started. He's not done until it's good. Let him work it in your favors. Let him turn it in your favor. Watch him work it for your good. Watch him work it for your good. He's not done. 'Cause he's not done with what he started. He's not done until it's good. Hello, peace. Hello, peace. Hello, joy. Hello, strength. Hello, hope, it's a new horizon. Hello, peace. Hello, joy. Hello, love. Hello, strength. Hello, hope, it's a new horizon. And if you're ready for a break,
come on, lift your hands and sing.
Just open up and just receive. It's what he's pouring out. It's what he's pouring out is nothing you've ever seen. You've ever seen. Hello, peace. Hello.
I'm so excited to see all of you down here. What a blessing. I'm talking to my new friends, one from Iowa and one from Wisconsin, here for the very first time. I looked at the Iowa, I said, first time? She goes, I was invited here by my friend from Wisconsin. We just moved here, and so they just found it. Then I found my friend who came here, who's living in the area, said he'd heard of the church and showed up tonight. Then my friend from France, who just began to come here for the first. So everyone, and every one of us has a story tonight. But tonight, can we believe that God's going to put an exclamation point? You can't have peace of Christ without the word of Christ. And the word of Christ says, we're going to ask you to come in and change us from the inside out. We're going to all pray the same prayer together. It's not a magic prayer. It has to come from the heart. It has to come from the heart. This isn't like going, we found the magic prayer that gets everybody. That doesn't exist. Don't let anybody tell you. That's that Colossians stuff that says, don't eat this, don't go here, this day of the week. That's Paul going. We fight that. How do we fight that? We let the peace of Christ rule, the umpire. So when we hear that kind of stuff going like, you can't eat this, we go, you're out of here. And when we start talking about the word of Christ, he goes, that's safe. That's safe. Come on, let's pray this together out loud. Confess with our mouth. Dear Jesus, I believe in my heart that you are the Son of God. I welcome you into my life. I believe you have died for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. I ask you tonight, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and change me from the inside out. Be Lord of my life, the boss, the one in charge. I've lived my life with too many questions, but tonight I am asking for the peace of Christ and an exclamation point that when anyone asks me, are you going to heaven? We're going to say this. I've been forgiven. I've been born again. Christ is in me. I'm going to heaven in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Exclamation point. Exclamation point. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do on this. This a great next step for you. Great next step. You'll see it come on the screen. For those that are watching online, you're going to see it online. You can email Decided to Growth. But for those here, just text the word decided to 51,000. Just text. And then what happens is we'll just send you next steps. That's all it is. I'm not selling you land in Florida. It's just saying, here's the next steps. Here's some next steps. I think they'll send you like a couple of 3 or 4 minute videos. This is how you can be the word of God. This is how you pray. It's a great thing. We have foundations course. We have everything from water baptism just to start you on your journey. You'll get all that information. Let me just tell you this. This is an exclamation point night. It's an exclamation point night. So whether you're from France or Iowa or Wisconsin or down the street, God has put his hand upon you. And tonight is the beginning of what he wants to do in your life.